So friend, now we come to a very important topic called coverage profile. Coverage profile is very important subject matter under inventory control management. So coverage profile, what is coverage profile? Coverage profile is a component of performance cycle and the frequency. We need to understand both these terms a little better. What is performance cycle? Performance cycle is nothing but the time that you take, that is from the order that you give it on to your organization, that you need this inventory. Time that it is taken to order, then from order the system integration, then procurement of raw material, production, transportation and reaching you the goods. That's a performance cycle, as they say. That's the time that is taken to meet your indenting need and inventory. Frequency is like organizations do not cater to everybody equally with the same frequency. Frequency, when I say certain markets you may send your material every week, while certain other markets you may say that we will come every fortnight, while far off places you may say that we will come once in month, etc. This itself has its repercussions on the inventory that you carry and inventory that you push into your channel, etc. So that's a frequency. The frequency determines your coverage profile. The combination of this replenishment order lead time and the frequency approach that you adopt for different market determines your coverage profile. That coverage profile is nothing but translated into periodically how much inventory that you should have on your hand to satisfy your marketing requirements. Inventory therefore are monitored in a different manner, appropriate for the different organizations or within the same organization, different market needs, different condition of the product, etc. You either follow ABC analysis, that is 10% of your goods valuable, probably giving you 70% of the volume, 20% of the goods giving you 20% of the volume, 70% of the goods giving you only 10% of the volume. Now for this, naturally, one is your performance cycle could be different. So for that 10% of the item which accounts for the 70% of the revenue, probably your factory is producing them more frequently. So the performance cycle lead time could be less, while those 70% of the item which is just accounting for the 10% of your revenue, factory will not produce it daily. Factory may have a schedule once in quarter, once in 2 months, etc. So your performance cycle is accordingly impacted. Now vis-a-vis that, how much in market stock that you would like to have, what is that performance frequency that you are setting? So maybe Chennai, Mumbai, Bangalore, 6 major metros, you may supply goods within fortnight, every fortnightly cycle, but other part of the country or tier 2 towns maybe every 2 months and tier 3 every 3 months. So your central warehousing accordingly will have to factor in. So that's what the coverage profile is all about. VED, vital, essential, desirable, again I have mentioned, based on what significance is attached to what nature of product, etc. Your manufacturing will be tweaked accordingly, and your frequency in the market you will tweak. That will determine your performance cycle, and overall your coverage profile is accordingly determined. SAP is also another approach, that is scarce, available and plenty. So that's again the scarce resources, probably you will produce less frequently, or plenty you may produce more but less frequently, etc. So that impacts your overall coverage, because your performance cycle will get accordingly impacted, and your market condition will compel you to have certain specific frequency. So that's what we need to really understand. So coverage profile as a terminology is critical for us to understand. One more approach is fast, slow, normal. So depending on organization, the market they are in, the nature of goods, so organization, same organization may be practicing more than one approach for different categories of the goods. So that's also quite possible. And so we have understood the important concept called coverage profile. I wanted to just touch base you on the coverage profile led situation which comes in is the stock out situations. Now here you see a graph, there is a time zone, there is a inventory level, etc. Assumption is like this is a safety stock, this is a bare minimum stock level after which you must reorder and get your supplies in time to avoid stock out situation. And this is a normal inventory replenishment that is happening as a normal curve. So there is a curve at this point, a reorder is coming. So when you reach a reorder, and if you do the ordering, you are supposed to get your supply before you really touch the safety stock level. But all this is fine, in the state where regular this thing is there. However, if this doesn't happen, if this gets delayed, then you will end up into safety stock situation. That is what is explained to you by the red line. So red line indicates that your suddenly the consumption has increased. There was a spurt in the market. Your consumption in the market has increased. As a result, you reached your reorder and safety stock requirement much earlier than anticipated. Now, if you have worked on a conventional method, you would have been leading to a situation where you, even if after reaching your safety stock level, you are not getting your supplies in time. As a result, you will lead to stock out situation where there will be a stage where you will have no stock with you. As a result, you will not be able to feed into the market and market will be deprived of a selling opportunity. So we have understood what is stock out situation. That links us to also another concept called performance cycle delays. We have understood what is performance cycle. Now we understand the performance cycle delays. This happens mainly because complete cycle from reorder to stock replenishment has various stages. Procurement, manufacturing, transportation, etc. So as a result, there could be the delay at any one of this, which may impact your performance cycle. Cycle may get skewed, delay may occur also. So cycle has another component called frequency. The moment even if you change that, your overall coverage profile gets impacted. So performance cycle delay is to do with that reorder, replenishment order to getting the supply. Cycle, this thing gets skewed due to various conditions. Safety stock, there is a safety stock level that you set for you, also determines your performance cycle aspects. Minimal possible days means inadequate stock. So you decide that you will have a safety stock of minimum number of days. Now that means you are still endangering, you are not protecting yourself well against the stock out situation. Maximum possible days that you take means you are trying to have excess inventory in the pipeline. So both are not good as such, but we wanted to just understand what may skew the performance cycle leading to delay in your performance cycle performance. So that's critical aspects. Using standards, so how do you overcome this? And so here what we are trying to explain you is that there is a statistical technique, statistical tool called standard deviation. So to arrive at an appropriate level of safety stock and those things, the performance cycle delay, the approach is to calculate the standard deviation, to calculate the demand and replenishment cycle. Under standard deviation, post elaborate calculation, you get optimal number which will indicate the level of safety stock that you must have. This safety stock is derived at a level which tells you what is the performance cycle output is protected. So it tells you that this is a safety stock which takes into account 86% of your performance cycle need. So it gives you an assurance that 86% of the time you will not be into a stock out situation. Now you have a choice. This 86% you feel that should become 95, then again you will have to tweak your safety stock accordingly. So all these trade-offs then happen after the standard deviation method is utilized to arrive at the safety stock number, post which certain tweaking are possible that sets your safety stock norm. This entire thing will generate into coverage profile impact and all. I'm sure like now by you have understood, because safety stock movement up and down will also set your frequency in the market accordingly, and that all will overall impact your coverage profile, which is an important subject under the inventory management. Now we understand indenting for inventory. So how do you get your inventory, desired inventory that you need in your stock warehouse? So there are ways that you do this, and indenting based on periodic forecast. So here periodic forecasts are created. Periodic forecasts come from the sales team. Sales team creates a forecast for the required product and variation thereof, which has been linked to the market conditions. Market conditions tells you what is required. Various inventory positions at a CNF agent, distribution level, retailer level will tell you what is already there. That the gap will tell you an idea about how much you need to really indent. So at each level, a person knows once he connects this thing on a periodic level, and that he can get into ordering the inventory. So that's a periodic assessment. Next is based on in the replenishment of inventory. Here clearly period is not in focus. Coverage profile. So we have studied what is coverage profile, which is a result of performance cycle and frequency. For coverage profile decides your demand. Having done that, performance and frequency decides your overall inventory requirement. Club to that, there is a capacity on the transportation. So how much you can move the goods to one area, that's a capacity that comes. And then club to that, the manufacturing and other procurement subject matter, which will add to the time, will decide how much stock that you should have at any given point of time. So you monitor this against your actual stock. So when actual stock reaches this level, there is a trigger that you need to indent for your inventory. That indenting order and all has been decided in advance, that how much you can indent at one particular point of time and all. So that's how the indenting is managed in the inventory control. Periodic forecast base, reverse calculation, and then you determine your indenting need. Second is based on the replenishment of inventory, which is using your performance cycle and frequency, which impacts your safety stock. And then based on the available information, then you decide, once you reach that reorder level, which has been frozen, you indent for the agreed quantity as per the policy. Indent for irregular takeoffs are accounted not in a very scientific manner, but that is taken care of generally by the mother depot or the distribution, nearest distribution center. So when such eventuality comes, what is looked upon is whether the same product, same quantity, needed quantity is available in the nearby distribution center or not. If that is the case, then they request the distribution center to move the goods to the next distribution center where the need is there. Or mother depot generally carries that concept of buffer stock and anticipated stock, etc. From there, they will have some supplies definitely available to meet the demand of the distribution center arising out of irregular takeoffs. So then they are accordingly advised to indent on to, say, either warehouse or a distribution center, and accordingly the indenting takes place. Importance of forecast in inventory planning is very much important. Inventory indenting based on forecasting really helps everyone. So forecasting is a back-end process where sales forecasts are converted into where zone-wise, region-wise, state-wise, collectively that is pulled into as a what distribution center is needed, when needed, etc. And that is pulled back into manufacturing plan and all. And that's how the overall, that considering the transportation and various other lead time and lag time, you arrive at your inventory need for any given point of time. Now, these are all what we discuss, used to be a very conventional, no doubt changes have come and people have made the conventional system dynamic. But today's thinking is totally going on a different tangent. New age, with the technology and various other aspects in the forefront of remaining alive also, that is a very critical challenge for any business. Various other options are also emerging and being considered by the organization. So one such this thing is a decentralization of inventory, this thing. So instead of controlling it at a central location, you decentralize your inventory management. You decentralize, provide them KPIs, provide them performance criteria, provide them the minimum level, maximum level guidelines, etc. And let them manage their inventory indenting and inventory levels. So that's a complete decentralization of it. Collaborative forecasting. On Amazon's, Walmart's of India or world, what they do, they get into what you call a collaborative forecasting. Collaborative forecasting comes in because it is easy for, say, like Amazon distribution center or Amazon market heads to create a demand. But he doesn't know what lead time that Samsung has, or what lead time the Sony Bravia LED TV has, or what lead time the fruit basket, drinks manufacturer has, etc. So as a result, it is very difficult for the, say, Amazon guy to order onto the vendor. What has happened is worldwide, these giants have evolved, and especially the Walmart is the catalyst in the industry. They have created a IT integration based collaborative forecasting mechanism. So collaborative forecasting is like various Amazons or Walmart stores will create the demand requirements and the stock levels are known through their efficient IT system. This is fed to the respective vendors, respective suppliers. Respective suppliers knows their production cycle. They know better than anybody else. As a result, they are in a position to tell Walmart's, okay, let us supply this many unit in the month of so-and-so to this DC, etc. Because next supply will be only in the month of August, September kind of thing. So they are in that better position to advise Walmart where they should be supplying what, at what periodicity, etc. So this is a collaborative forecasting. It keeps the inventory minimum both at the manufacturer level and at the Walmart level. Yeah. Because what is supplied is generally consumed by the consumers of Walmart. On forecasting and inventory management, you clearly mandate each warehouse and each DCs to get into their own conceptualization of inventory requirement, etc., based on the market conditions and all. And having understood the market conditions well, you try to create a management for yourself. Again, here to see that things are not out of control, various performance parameters can be set by the management. Decoupling, safety stock, reorder level, tweaking, etc. We have understood what is decoupling, one of the earlier subject. Safety stock is something that also we have just studied as such. Reorder level is the order, once your inventory reaches that level, you have to reorder. So these are the some of the policy decisions are tweaked to manage inventory very effectively. It allows proper indenting of the inventory. There is clear guidelines linked to this, and accordingly the inventory indenting gets triggered. So components of forecasting, we talked about efficient forecasting being a very critical part of the indenting of inventory. What is that, Yana? So let's understand that. So there is a concept called base demand, followed by seasonal component, add to that the trend component, cyclic component, promotional components and irregular components. So I will try and take them one by one. Base demand is like the obviously standard, average, whatever you say, the minimal or normal demand. Now to normal demand, you have to consider seasonal component. So normal demand for say warmer could be 10 units in the month of March, April, May, June. But come December, the warmer will be, the demand will go up instead of 10 to 20. So this component of 10 needed to be added in your forecasting, because now for December, Jan, Feb, this requirement will be higher because there is a seasonality to it. Apple again in the month of winter, etc., are demanded more, consumed more, etc. So that has to be factored in. Suppose if you have an Apple based product. Trend component is to do with upcoming set of trend that is going to happen. Like you know that this trend is going to come in. Or today, you know that through the promotions and through various trailers, etc., you come to know that which hero has won what, etc. Now you are able to say, like, therefore you know that this item is going to be in trend. So this trendy, this thing can be then factored into your production plan also and in your forecasting of need. So inventory can be accordingly, trend component is taken into account. Cyclic component is, certain items have a very cyclic requirement. It goes up in particular month, comes down, or even periodicity wise. Beginning of the month, these items are in demand and then it goes down. So I tell you, classically, our entire tooth and shampoos and you know those kind of items have a cyclic demand. We purchase when we receive salary. So that's the time when you buy those items, your month's inventory, or even those pack size and all are somehow designed in such a way ke kareeban for a family of 3 to 5, ek mahina chal jata hai. So that your next purchase will be only in the next month beginning. So there is a cyclic pattern. Yani in the beginning of the month, first week, probably there is going to be a high demand for shampoos and toothbrush and toothpaste, etc. And then it starts tapering off and goes down. And then again in the next month it picks up. So those component has to be factored in. Promotion component, you are planning that December is coming and you are going to announce 50,000 off, or you are going to announce cashback of 10,000 rupees, you are whatever. So those promo, or you are going to launch your product on Amazon. So all those things will have pull on the demand. So that needs to be factored in your promotional component of inventory forecasting, irregular component, some aspect of beyond trend, beyond season cycle, some irregular component can be factored in to see that overall your forecasting is appropriate, so that overall your inventory management is in a position to satisfy your customer service level and yet minimize the inventory carrying costs. So moving ahead, concept of qualitative and quantitative techniques in inventory management comes into picture. We will study them, but not from the statistical qualification perspective, but more from the understanding perspective of its relevance with the inventory management. Qualitative techniques are surveys, panels, and market research are some of the techniques and tools available, under which you can probably, the examples are the Delphi methods and panel of expert methods. Delphi is a repeated opinions collected from the same set of experts, which are collaborated, which are tweaked based on the outcome generated each level, which is average outcome vis-a-vis the expert knows what he has answered, then he has a authority to either stick to his earlier opinion or change his opinion. If he changes opinion, the average or the means or whatever mode calculated changes. So accordingly, after set of 2, 3, 4 rounds, some refined figure emerges. So that's a Delphi method. Panel of expert is like people from the same industry, cross industry, etc., collectively coming together to project what the future holds for the specific industry or specific product, etc. So that is a input that is taken for your qualitative techniques of inventory planning. Inventory planning comes from estimation which arrive out of this. So estimation of product in demand, etc., and then from there you work back to determine your inventory need out of that. Quantitative techniques are again many, and which are two very important. One are the time series techniques and economic order quantity techniques. So that's a EOQ, as they say. We will study both in brief. Time series technique, as the term defines, it is a time specific series, time specific determination of the quantity in future. So based on the quantity that has happened in the past for a specific year or a period or a quarter, etc., you try to project the future. This thing, the relevance here is, it is assumed that past is a representative of the future. Future we follow the same trend, that's another assumption here. If that is not so, then the time series is not a right technique to use. Now here there are various ways to do that. Moving average. Moving average is the calculation of an average for a specific period. So this moving average could be quarter, 6 monthly, or an annual. So say like in FMCG and all, when they use annual moving average, so they start with April to March, then in the next month it is May to April, etc., and that's how they go on calculating the changing average for a period of 1 year. So that's how they project the next month forecast for the product and sale. Now from there, inventory, this thing is derived. So that's what we meant. These are the techniques which will give you an idea about expected or likely demand from where you pull out your inventory requirements. Weighted moving average. Weighted moving average is nothing but the you have achieved a certain level in the past, and you know the weight it carries, specific month has specific weight, etc. So you create a weight. It's like a simple weighted average. You put a weight to various moving factors, and then you arrive at a weighted moving average. Exponential smoothing is nothing but use of a average method, but here you try to, you have understood in the past what was projected versus what you actually achieved. So that factor is brought in together with the calculation of the average. So average is one aspect, and then you soothe that average with the reality of the past. So in the past you have X is a prediction, but you fall short of it, or in the past X is a prediction, but you have exceeded the requirement, etc. So that component of soothing brought in here, therefore it is known as the exponential soothing method. Exponential smoothing through adjusted trend. So here you calculate everything as per the exponential soothing method, but as we have earlier studied, there are various component in your forecasting that needs to be added to the base forecast. So one is a trend forecast. So exponential smoothing with trend means you calculate your exponential smoothing average as you do it. To that you add the trend component to it. So trend is a factor that you visualize. So you expect the trend to multiply, you expect the trend to go down, etc., or a negative trend, etc., or a diminishing trend or a growing trend. So that factor is put in before the exponential smoothing. So it is exponential smoothing adjusted with the trend technique. And a straight line fit, very simple, past data is projected on a time duration, month on month data is plotted, or say year on year data is plotted. So for last 5 years, 7 years, 10 years data is plotted. Now from there you try to see that which straight line covers most of the quantity points, and that straight line when you pull it further will give you the future projection. So that's a simple straight line fit method. Regression is also a technique as same as like a straight line, but here the factors which are considered are the dependent factor and the independent factor. Dependent factor, if I have to give you an example, simple example is like a soft drink versus the temperature outside. So soft drink sale is considered to be relevant to the outside temperature. So now for you to project what is going to be the demand, you try to plot the average, or you try to plot the temperature every day to which you plot the sale of soft drink, etc. So having done that, you are able to arrive a relationship between the independent and dependent variable. Once you capture that relationship, it is easy for you to factor the future forecast if you know the future temperature. So if you think that in next 15 days the temperature is going to go up, then you can forecast your this thing accordingly. Or if you feel that windy condition, unseasonal rain, etc. will pull the temperature down, as a result there may be a less demand for the soft drink. So then when you do that, you are able to project your future requirement. So the difference in regression versus fit line, straight fit line, is regression does take into account two factors. One is a dependent, the other is an independent factor. So when that is calculated, equation is formed, that equation can be extrapolated for the future use. So that's the so we have studied various quantitative techniques of demand forecasting, etc. From there your entire backend calculation of inventory management will start. Next big important concept is the economic order quantity. Economic order quantity, as the term suggests, it's the most right quantity that you generally order at any given point of time, that will not safeguard you not only against the stock out situations, that will also minimize your inventory level, and that will also minimize your transportation cost, that will also minimize your inventory carrying cost. So that's what is economic order quantity. It's a replenishment order quantity that minimizes the combined cost of inventory maintaining and ordering. So that's what the definition of EOQ. It is linked with the demand level. So demand level in the market, that will set your turnaround for the inventory at the go down. Ordering cost, when you order the, and how much quantity you order as a ordering cost, carrying cost. So if that inventory lies unused, what is the inventory carrying cost, etc. And production unit cost, what is the cost of its production. Collectively, it makes a inventory carrying cost. And to that, when you attach what is the safety of the stock, that is EOQ. So that's what EOQ helps you to balance between all this. So it's the most ideal or most economic, as they say, quantity that one can order at every given point of time. Now EOQ can be set for warehouses, depending on the market they serve, can be set for the distribution centers. So that's another part. EOQ maximization will happen only if you set a different EOQ for the different marketing condition, various dynamics you take into account of the different distribution centers and all. So it's a definitely a tool which inventory managers often wish to use and maximizes impact on the distribution costs. So reordering procedures, as the name suggests, how do you go about reordering for the goods? So reordering for the goods can take place, order a fixed quantity at a different interval. So there could be a policy that fixed amount can be ordered every fortnight. So that's one approach to reorder. Ordering a fixed interval separate quantities. So every fortnightly this thing, you can order a quantity, but that quantity will have to take into account the replenishment level, the safety stock vis-a-vis your need. So you are going to order at a fixed interval, but quantity may differ. In the previous one, fixed quantity at a different interval. So that fixed quantity is like you're set at the minimum standard, minimum quantity level that one can order. This has a relevance on the interval. So here the emphasis is on the quantity, because you want to minimize the ordering cost. Ordering cost minimization comes with the size of the quantity and the transportation cost, etc. So you do that in a way, if you fix the quantity, but you allow the interval to be variable. Second approach is you fix the interval and allow the quantity to be variable. So every fortnight or every month, or again ABC classification wise or VED classification wise, A category quantity can be ordered any number every fortnightly, while C category has to be ordered in specific quantity every, this thing when you reach a reorder level and all. So that's a combination between quantity and the interval. So next is also known as the Q method and P method. The first method, because emphasis is on the quantity, fixed quantity, it is known as a Q method. In the next, the emphasis is on the period. So it is known as a P method of reordering. So there is a Q order method of reordering, P method of reordering. This is what is kind of explained out here. Q method of reordering, where quantity is ordered, a fixed quantity is ordered at different interval. So as you can study here, you have a time horizon, inventory levels, you have safety stock standard defined, you have reorder standard defined. Now you know the lead time based on the time given. At every given point of time, you know that when you reach this particular level, reorder level, you have to order a fixed quantity. So when you reach this level and you order a fixed quantity, so it's only that when you reach this level, there is no time constraint. When you reach a reorder level, you order a fixed quantity. In the next method, P method, as you see, probably again it is the same matrix, time and quantity out here. What you do is, here the period is important. So you are allowed to order every period, but your quantity will differ. The quantity difference is a result of your safety stock, reorder level needed, etc. So your quantity order will differ at every given point of time. So every fortnightly, it's not sure that you will only order 100. In first fortnight, you may order 100. In the next fortnight, you may have to order 120. In the third fortnight, you may just order 70 units, etc. Because based on the market and the consumption, etc., your reorder level reaching is delayed or expedited, and that you factor in while you order your quantity. Determinants of inventory stocking, and what determines the stocking of inventory? Limitation of space. Space being a very costly affair, that determines how much maximum that you can carry. Value risk, and so what kind of inventory it is, what is the cost per unit, and what is the risk of carrying them for long, etc. So that's a value risk that you carry. If suppose the item become obsolete, so then you carry a heavy risk of liquidating this inventory. Defend against vulnerability. Market being very sensitive, how do you defend against the marketing conditions? So even to protect against that, there is a level beyond which it is risky to store the goods. And it could be industry benchmark, it could be your benchmark, because you know the impact of that on your profitability better than anybody else. So that's a vulnerability protection. For obtaining economies of scale or transportation discounts, order quantity is maybe even against the pre-test standard. And so this also says, like inventory stocking, if suppose you want to utilize transportation cost benefit you want to take. So in that case, you may order more so that you are able to have the full truckload or full container load moved to from one location to the other location, which is having the lower cost per unit of transportation. So eventually it will benefit you in the total inventory carrying cost at that particular location or at the organization level, etc. So these are the determinants of the inventory stocking. So we have studied four different ways of inventory stocking. So friends, we come at a stage where it is essential for us to now get a glimpse of what is the real world scenario. So technology support for inventory management is very essential for us to study. I will take you through some of the examples out here. Inventory management software systems, there are enterprise resource planning, which is ERP, and Internet of Things and IoT for wider inventory management automation. So let's take them one by one. Inventory management software system. Okay, they were traders, you know, the days of traders, and when the computers and all came in, so they were like Excels that has been used to account for various transactions and all. Then some bookkeeping software came in, so that was used by the traders and all. But that was not sufficient for the small and mid-sized, you know, enterprise, which needs some integration. Some two department needs to talk to each other. So that is achieved by SaaS. And SaaS is a way by which the softwares are made available to masses, and masses can use those softwares freely. So that has promoted the use of SaaS-based software for small and mid-sized industry. But again, the kind of integration and real-time data that was needed was not possible with that also. So as a result, the ERP, enterprise resource planning systems, have moved in for the large and very large industry areas. So we have studied ERP in general in our warehousing and those subjects, but ERP generally out here is it's an integrated approach. It's a platform which unifies various functional divisions of the organizations, and they are able to communicate with each other on the real-time basis with certain automated systems. So when goods is shown as a dispatch, the automated backend will reduce the inventory on it, so nobody has to manually do it. It will also shoot the email or an SMS to the customer that your goods is on way. We very often get on our mobile when we buy from Amazon or Flipkart, etc., that your order is on your way. So these are that power that it has, the ERP systems. With an ERP inventory management system, business can manage all functions in one place, online in real time. So all those functions of billing, receiving, or quantity management, reorder achievement level and reorder to trigger, etc., all this is happening online in real time. And each one functional heads when logs into his area, he gets the updated real-time status. ERP can integrate online connectivity with multiple in-house or city-wide operations or country-wide operations also. So that's the power of ERP. Like you look at, say, Nike or, for example, Amazon. Amazon in India or in Brazil or in Australia or in America have an integrated ERP system. It's centralized at a place, and they all can see the view what is happening in different part. So that's the beauty of a ERP. It's a powerful platform which gives you online real-time update. Enterprise resource planning system, it allows different ERP systems to communicate also with each other. So there are enterprise resource production planning, there are enterprise resource inventory management, enterprise resource distribution management. All the systems talk to each other. So I gave you one example. The moment one inventory is shown outward, distribution manager gets the idea that he has to ensure the distribution of it. So he gets into that action. Inventory is reduced by one. Customer gets the trigger that his goods is on way, etc. So that's possible because each one is talking to each other in a real time. It can be network based or cloud based. The power of a network base has its own limitations, like connectivity and scalability is a limitation. While if you take it on a cloud offers you far more better, superior options and features, advantage, etc. And speed and real-time updation on the cloud-based systems are far more better. With cloud-based systems, next revolution is coming is the Internet of Things. Cloud-based system also allows you to integrate other mobile assets. So as I told you, that vehicle tracking system is possible to integrate with the ERP because ERP is on a cloud, and vehicle tracking system feed is given to the ERP, and ERP will update the status on its own. So that's the power, integrated communication and functioning. So that ERP is a very powerful system support available for inventory management. Internet of Things is it's a kind of a platform, or it's a next stage after the internet or your hardwares are being set. This is like, it provides you it's a system of interrelated computing devices that are provided with unique identifiers, UIDs, and the ability to transfer data over a network without requiring any interventions. So they automatically communicate things without any human intervention. So RFIDs and those kind of thing that you use, vehicle tracking chips, etc. They are like a IoT, an Internet of Things, where the wireless transmits the signal, the chip picks it up, no interventions needed, it updates your status on the map, and you get to see the outcome of it. Yeah. So that's what added advantage. IoT of thing is more more intuitive. They override the ERP system. They give you analyzed picture very fast using the data pulled from the ERP system. So as a result, you are able to also take managerial decisions effectively out of Internet of Things, etc. So that's a interrelated device doing their function on their own without any human intervention. It needs a connectivity, which could be internet or a wireless. So that's the this thing, essentially an internet. Spare parts production and inventory management. So that is IoT of things has changed the way the spare parts management is happening or production is happening. When spare part moves out of the raw material warehouse, a barcoder or RFID attached to that clearly sets everything in sync. One can really see the way the goods is reached, etc. So that helps you in the inventory planning. You know that the truck is going to reach next day, or you know the truck is going to reach in 10 days, whatever. So that's what. So on the other extreme, with the vehicle tracking, as I told you, it is possible to manage the inward supplies, your distribution center supplies, etc., finished goods out there, market supplies, all can be managed, because constantly the data is getting churned, data is getting flown into the channel. Each channel, that is each division department, picks up that relevant data, that system picks up by communicating to each other. They update the information available with them. When the manager sees them, he comes to know the real situation. Actions are taken based on that. So, driving the entire inventory management function towards right order at the right time, in the right manner and the right quantity, overall maximizes your inventory management. So, friends, we have studied a very interesting topic of inventory management overall under distribution center, including new age technology support that is changing the way inventory is being managed across various business functions. Thank you.